A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our all-new special edition of betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide, this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code ANG.
ANG like a new graphic if you're watching at home. Boom!
To get 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199, gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code ANG. By the way, Felica texted in, talking about Paolini versus Vekic. He says, it is an astonishing achievement for Paolini. I don't know if this is his words or if he's copy and pasting. He says, it's an astonishing achievement for Paolini, who had not won a tour-level match on grass until 15 days ago in Eastbourne. Had one of the tune-ups to Wimbledon and lost in the first round on her previous three visits to Wimbledon.
That's insane. That is insane.
And then Krejcikova didn't even play it for many years until 2021.
Yeah.
And 2021 was her best finish at Wimbledon. She got to the fourth round. She had never gotten that far since. So there you go. Anyway, by the way, I should point out that me and Felica were oppo on the women's final. I am on Krejcikova. VSiN.com/picks. All host, all guests, all of their picks. I took Krejcikova at -139. He likes Jasmine Paolini. By the way, Jasmine Paolini, adorable, gracious in defeat at the French Open, charming as all get out. She's just wonderful.
Has won over the fans.
Oh, she's tremendous. I don't think she'll win, but we'll see. Second straight slam final for Paolini.
I mean, we were on the air, right? But we were getting tweets about the whole crowd cheered for, and like poor Vekic just like crying
weeping
through the match.
Just
crying.
Like,
pain and all these types of things.
By the way, that match yesterday, that match started an hour and a half before we got on air, and it ended a half hour before we got off. 3 hour match.
When I was back home doing work, I caught Fowler was mentioning something. I was like, oh yeah, these matches were
amazing.
Like, I think he said 5.5 hours between the two of them.
Yeah.
Is what it ended up being. I was like, yeah, that is a long day
of
tennis.
Great day of tennis. And Krejcikova winning and made it great for us. We've split the first two sets here. Alcaraz does come back, win the second set 6-3 as they begin the third. Paul Carr joins us, ladies and gentlemen, to talk soccer because we got a couple big tournament finals at both Euros 2024 and Copa America. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. And, of course, he's with True Media Networks and the host of the Expected Value podcast. Paulie, how you doing, man?
Gil, I and my guys have sent 83 sets of game notes for all the Euro and Copa games, so life is wonderful.
So you have two left? That's it?
No, we're done. That's it.
You're
done?
Wow.
Send them all.
How pumped are you right now?
Last night when I sent them, I'm alone in my office. I can't really, go high five anybody, but I'm kind of running around my office and yelling as much as I can without waking up the family.
This child is like, what is dad doing?
He's just done with the game notes. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. He's got something called game notes. How long does it take you to do one game note? Just give us an idea.
It's a collaboration with me and two of my guys, but it's probably the first ones are probably 4 to 6 hours, and then it's between 2 and 4 hours total between the two or three of us for each additional one.
Jeez. Okay.
But you do a lot of prep in advance. You know the group head-to-heads that you can do in advance. You obviously know the tournament histories you can do in advance. So there's a whole process of, the whole 6 months before where you're just kind of piecing things together to make it easier in tournament.
Well, good for you. You deserve a vacation. You taking a vacation? Yes.
I'm going to U.S. women's game next week to work for Turner, and then I'm taking 2 weeks off. So, yes.
Yes.
Nice. And then what, the FA Cup begins, right? Like right away?
Premier League starts Tuesday.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. There's Olympic soccer, and then the Premier League does start August 16th or so. So, yeah, soccer does not stop.
Where does Paul Carr go vacation, by the way?
So my daughter is very into American history. So we're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to see the sights.
Hey!
And then probably also find a lake and crash somewhere once we come back.
All right, just know that they shove you through the White House. It takes about 5 minutes. So
we look forward to
don't get offended.
Through.
Don't get offended. Okay.
Right. Wait, what?
Yeah, the White House tour is like.
What do they run? They rush it?
They just get through it. Yeah.
We've got the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a schedule. And they, I mean, you know, you get the email of like, here's how we'll be here within. They're going to do this. It's very. Seems very organized.
It was quick when I was a kid. I can't imagine now with extra security what it's like now.
It takes four times as long, but you see the same time type of stuff.
Maybe so. All right, before we get to the Copa final and the Euro final, this gives us an opportunity. I love when this comes up. Mm-hmm. Copa still plays. Do we call it a consolation game or do we call it a third place game? What is the technical term here?
Third place match is officially what most of the tournaments call it, yeah.
Okay, let me just ask you a very simple question, and I just want you to lean in for this. Why? Why do we do this?
For Copa, it's pretty simple. Money.
Yeah.
Because you're going to, I don't know if they'll sell out. They're playing it in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium. I don't know if they'll sell it out, but you're going to sell another, 40, 50,000 tickets.
Are you?
So,
are you? Are really 40,000, 50,000 people showing up for this?
Uruguay. They had a pretty good following even just here in Kansas City. Canada is probably not bringing in the crowds the same way, but I think they just get one more round of tickets and all the money that comes with that.
Now, Gil, as you look at this graphic, and yes. For anybody at home, this is literally Kelly just making up names for the two games. Same thing. I was confused, and I'm like, is this a third place game? Like,
that's
I don't know. They don't get medals, but I'm going to write that, and then I'm going to put final for the championship game or final, because I don't know what you call that either.
Hey, you get a good run.
And third place team will get medals usually.
They do get a medal.
Oh, they get a medal. Okay.
There you go. They get a medal, Kelly.
Did not know that.
Get a bronze medal. So the third place game is tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare handicap Canada and Uruguay?
The short answer is no. There's so many questions. Who's going to play? I mean, if you saw the Uruguay, Colombia after the game, Uruguay players went into the stands. They said to defend their families from Colombia fans. We don't know who may or may not be suspended from that yet. So, yeah, I'm not touching this from a side standpoint. I'm probably going to play over 2.5. It's around minus 125 now, just because most third place games, I think it's 9 out of 14, have had at least 3 goals. They tend to be open, as you would kind of expect these games to be, with the stakes relatively low. So I'll probably end up sprinkling on that, but there is not a side that I'm looking to touch, at least until lineups are out.
Hey, Paul, for that game, what do they do after 90 minutes? Because I couldn't find a mark. Like, is it just over then? Like, can there be
I believe they go to penalty kicks, straight to penalties.
They do that in Copa anyway.
Have extra time. Yeah, the final will have extra time if need be before penalties, but every other match goes straight to penalties.
So, I just couldn't find a market for them of like, you know, who would advance or something like that.
In Copa, with the exception of the final, they just go right to kicks no matter what. All right, so then Sunday, the final, Argentina and Colombia. Argentina plus 110, the draw is plus 195, Colombia plus 320 on the three-way.
I mean, that's a tempting number on Colombia. I think Argentina is the better team here. But I think the prices you're going to get on Colombia are pretty nice. Lionel Messi's not 100%. That's pretty clear. Most of you look at his attacking numbers the last couple games after he may tweak something, they're much lower than his first two games. And most of the offense that he's generated was in two games against Canada, which will just defend and bunker in ways that Colombia won't. Now, Argentina has plenty of other good players, don't get me wrong. But Messi is still Messi and kind of makes them hum. Colombia's defense is pretty good. They have really done well at preventing opponents getting good shots. And while their attack hasn't been as good numbers-wise, they've also had a tougher path to the final playing Brazil and Uruguay. Personally, I have a Colombia future that I'm riding here. Plus 1,400. Let's get it. If I were to play this, I would play Colombia. I saw plus 165 out there this morning on them to lift the cup. So that's the way I would look if I were looking for it. I just think, you know, this is more than a 60-40 game as far as Colombia is concerned. So you get plus north of plus 150 on it. I'm pretty happy about that.
All right. No Alexi Lalas after the game will have something to say about tears and tension and emotion and passion.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Love the drum.
England, Spain, Euros. What do you got?
Ooh. Yeah, this is a pretty good one. We actually saw this matchup a year ago in the Women's World Cup final. Spain beat England there. I think we see the same thing here. It's kind of simple. You know, Spain is the best team at the tournament. There's really no question. Part of that is just because they actually seem interested in attacking. You know, they scored twice against Germany. They scored twice against France. Whereas England has just kind of been scraping out these games. You know, all three knockout games, they conceded first and then had to score late to either tie it up or win. But Spain is just better. I like them to win. This is the three-way money line plus 145. So that's a 90-minute bet. I think that's a pretty solid price. Should be a pretty good game, though. I mean, England's probably not going to open up, but Spain has the patience and the players and the ability to break them down and get a goal. And as we saw against France, they didn't get one goal and then just sit there. They went and got another one immediately a few minutes later. So I like Spain to win this one outright, plus 145. You can see I've seen plus 150s this morning stripped in that way.
All right, Spain plus 145 versus England. That's the daytime game, if you will, on Sunday. And then at night, Colombia to lift the trophy, plus 145 versus Argentina. Do I have those times correct? Sunday afternoon, Sunday night? Yes?
Sounds right to me. Afternoon and night, yes.
And don't forget, third place match on Saturday. We'll all be tuned in for that one.
Get your popcorn.
Yeah, you can forget if you want.
Uruguay, Canada. Throw out the records when those two match up. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. We'll come back. NFL, most points, least points, next.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by DraftKings here at Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, still to come this hour. Jordan Sherwood talking UFC with us. Thug Rose is in action this weekend, Kelly.
Yep.
Oh, I just like saying Thug Rose. Rose Namajunas.
This is one I didn't have to. I didn't even have to see Jordan's bets to
he's all over Thug.
Yeah, oh. He always is.
Does she still call herself Thug Rose?
I don't know. It's a good question. We'll have to ask him.
JP Acosta, NFL writer for SB Nation, he will join us as well. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a man who not only has he been invited to the Hamptons, but I think he almost grew up there. He's the Bear from Fox Sports. You know him as Chris Felica. That's Chris Felica on Twitter, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's got Bear Bets pods up the wazoo, every sport you can imagine. What's happening, Chris?
Yeah, I did grow up. I grew up in East Mauritius. That's my hometown, Allen Island. And I did go to high school in West Hampton. So, yes, I am from the area. So, yes, I have been to the Hamptons before.
All right. So Kelly and I were just, you know, Paul Carr's going to D.C. It's that time of year, right? I'm going to D.C., by the way, too. Jason Weingarten is going to the Hamptons. And we're always like, nice. We've never been to the Hamptons. Is it all it's cracked up to be, like that part of the Hamptons, the fun side? Is it worth going to?
Oh, it's nice, yeah. Yeah, it's nice. Some areas are a little elitish. I can picture Jason in like a seersucker type suit there.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe hair back in like a bun. And go to the polo match.
Polo match. There you go. See, like this is what we were talking about, Chris. It doesn't really feel like one of us would go to, say, book a hotel room at the Hamptons. But like, if you got a rich friend of a friend or something who invites you to their place in the Hamptons,
J-Lo invites
then you. Go.
You go.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. No, it's a fun area. There's a lot to do. Some really cool bars and restaurants, and the water is great. It's a definite socialite scene, though.
Okay. You also now, with the soccer tournaments winding down, you're coming here next week. I'm not going to be here. Sorry about that. And then you're going.
You did that on purpose.
Yeah, I was like, when is Felica here? And then what are you doing? You're going back to L.A.?
Yes. Yeah, I'm coming into Vegas on Monday. I was just texting with Matt Humans as well. I'm going to pop on by and see him and get my green jacket from the Circa Friday Football Invitational from 2022, which will be good. I'm gonna rent a car and I'm gonna go to Arizona and take advantage of a nice little bonus that one of your competitors offered me. So hey, if you're gonna offer me up free money, I'm gonna take advantage of it.
I'm glad you're renting a car because otherwise he would steal mine.
And did you say you're coming here to collect the jacket from the 2022 contest?
Yes.
And you expect this to still be around here?
Humans gives out a green jacket for winning that thing?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Yes. Good for you. All right. So
maybe I'll wear it on my podcast week one.
Maybe you should. That's right. So you got a great life, man. So these go to L.A. for his American football meetings at Fox. Yeah. Then what, during the season, during college football season, you go to New York to do, and then you go to New York and then to game day?
New York and then to Big Noon, yes.
Big Noon, pardon me.
Thursday morning, get in a car, going out to New York, and then fly out of New York on Thursday to go to the show, yeah.
Big Noon, pardon me, that's the name of the Fox show. Okay.
It's okay.
By the way, a lot of people...
It's easy. It's easy to confuse about 25, 26 years worth of work.
Yeah, I just want to say this, and just between you and me, way too many people on the desk at Big Noon. Way too many. It's very awkward. They're like this far away from each other, Chris.
Okay, well, maybe we need a bigger desk. Then.
Yeah, I think
I'll have to get with our ops people.
You need a bigger desk. You do. Okay, soccer first.
Put a bigger desk for me on there, too.
It's true. Copa, are you betting the third place match at all?
No.
You're not.
No, I am not. It's just hard for me to imagine who is going to be motivated to play that. The knee-jerk reaction is to play over both teams to score. You would think Canada would probably be a little bit more invested in wanting to finish third as opposed to Uruguay, who lost 1-0 and played an entire half a man up and couldn't score and get that game to kick. So, but until I see evidence of that, I'll be staying far away from it.
Okay. Because we keep getting tweets. People are like all about the third place match. They are convinced that Uruguay is just not showing up for it, and Canada 5-1 is a great bet.
Well, that's the automatic. That's the initial reaction, and that's probably the way that if you were going to go into this and play it, yes. But there's also this scenario where Uruguay just goes full bore and exposes Canada's defense and puts up 3 or 4. I feel much more confident about both teams to score or an over 2.5 or whatever over 3. Than I would Canada plus 5. But I totally wouldn't argue against anybody playing that and say don't play it.
All right. Sunday night is the Copa America final between Argentina and Colombia. Argentina, Colombia. What do you got here?
It feels like, I sound like a broken record, but under 2.5. If you look at Argentina's 5 games so far, all 5 have gone under 2.5. If you look at Argentina in the Copa finals that they played, the last 3 that they played, they have not conceded. I think it's a very tightly contested match, and I think you're going to see something similar to what we've seen from Argentina throughout and something similar to what we saw the other night between Colombia and Uruguay. Colombia has actually played very well defensively as well. I mean, there's a reason why they're undefeated in 28 consecutive matches. So it feels like an under 2.5 to me. I get the side. I get the those who are liking Colombia, and good luck to Paul Carr with that nice future that he has on Colombia. It just feels like one of those. If you weren't there at the baptism, you don't want to be there for the funeral. So, like, as someone who doesn't have the Colombia future now, I don't want to hop on them right now and see that they lose potentially to Argentina, because the Argentina were the last team to beat them. And if you look, it's in the last like 15 years or so, Argentina, Colombia, it's 1 win, 7 losses, and 4 draws for Colombia against Argentina. So historically, there is a significant gap between the two countries, and we'll see if Colombia can keep this going. But the only play that I am officially going to make here is under 2.5. And also remember, for your handicapping here, this match would go to extra time. They don't go straight to kicks for the final, so you would have the 2 15-minute periods there.
The one Copa America exception is in the final. They will play extra time. Okay, Euros 2024 earlier on Sunday. It is England and Spain. I hope it's not too soon, but I just want to send out, I poured out a 40 for your Netherlands future.
Yeah,
I felt so bad for you when that penalty was called, dude. That was awful.
Yeah, it really was. And I love the people out there who are like, oh, it's a clear, obvious penalty. Clear and obvious? Okay, the official didn't call it on the field standing right there.
Come on.
Essentially, everybody on the pitch went down the field expecting a goal kick on the other end. I just wanted somebody to ask Harry Kane post-match how he was able to muster up enough strength and heal and be able to take that penalty, because it looked like it was the end of the world for him. It looked like he was going to have to get stretchered off and subbed out early. But the fact that he was able to just muster up the strength and miraculously feel better and take that penalty and stay in the game, it was amazing. But yeah,
well,
it sucked.
I'm glad I don't hear any bitterness in your voice whatsoever.
Took a great penalty, too.
It was an unbelievable penalty.
Yeah. Your announcers didn't even consider it for the first 45 seconds to a minute that it was a penalty.
No, they didn't.
Yep.
And neither did the people. I was watching the match within the room, including 2 who were rooting for England and another one who was a keeper at the highest level. And the keeper at the highest level had some choice words to to say about when they went to VAR to look at that. So,
by the way, that was the for was those bad. Who don't know, though, that was the equalizer in the game between England and the Netherlands at the semifinals. Yeah. No guarantee that the Netherlands would have won, but certainly that made it easier for England.
Yeah, it changed it. But looking ahead to this match, again, I think like if you look at the last couple of finals, they've all gone to stoppage time. 9 of the last 10 Euro finals have gone under 2.5. Again, you sense a pattern in these finals, in these high-stakes matches, that they're tightly contested, low-scoring. Both England and Spain trailed 1-0 in the semis, 1-2-1. Neither has conceded more than one goal in the tourney. So all the evidence is there. So I'm going to be playing under 2.5 here, and I'm going to be playing draw. I think this has extra time written all over. Wow. It's what England is going to be shooting for. They're going to try and just take. They're just going to try and take the steam out of this match against a side that clearly has an advantage on the wings athletically, with Amal and Nico Williams. So I think we're looking at under 2.5. I think we're looking at draw, and we'll see what happens.
All right, +185 on the draw between Spain and England on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. By the way, could you do your hits with us from this studio every time? This is great. Perfect audio. Just want to let you know.
If you fly me out to L.A.
I
can do it from the studio every
week. No problem. All right, before you go, 60 seconds. Can you give us a season win total on the way out?
Yeah, there were two that I played this week. I played Iowa State over 7.5. If you look at the Big 12, so many of those teams are just the same. You look at 1 through 6 or 7 or whatever, and there really isn't that much difference at all. I think if you look at Iowa State last year, playing Rocco Beck to quarterback, all of the youth that they have, Jalen Noel is a really good wide receiver, and they have another young running back who came in and replaced Breece Hall, and there's really no drop-off whatsoever there. You know that John Hickok and his defense are always going to be good. So I played Iowa State over 7.5. And then in Arizona, I played under 8. You lose Jed Fish and that coaching staff and the support system that Jed Fish and they had there at Arizona. He's now up at Washington. But I know that they have got Fafita. I know you've got T-Mac at receiver. But the defense, I'm not sold about. You're moving into a different league. I think Arizona really surprised last year and overachieved. I think under, if you got 9 to beat me, I'll take my chance. So I went under 8 with Arizona as well.
Christopher Felica, everybody. At Chris Felica on Twitter. El Oso, the bear. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man. Thank
See
you.
Much.
Chris Felica, everybody. Coming back with JP Acosta. Talk NFL from SB Nation. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures, props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you'll need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game or a new graphic if you're watching it.
That gets you 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. Gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code ANG. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Peter Watry, regarding third place match, the South American countries rarely get their teams together. Most of their players are playing in Europe or Asia by that time. One more chance for magic experience together. Okay. Jason H11, time for an ANG road trip to the claw machine. Dollars for doobies. Stephen Enright, Stephen Enright, thank you for doing the math. If we were in algebra together, I'd barter with you for help. He's referring to me figuring out that Medvedev only needed to win 2 games there, and he did, and we win.
Yeah, whoever tweeted that in, I had to think along with Gil talk. It was like, wait, what? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. That does add
13, up. 13-22, 32, yeah, man. Yeah. And then New Jersey, New York. When I grow up, I want to be Jason. Very simply put. Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the show, and we're thrilled to have him. Kelly had the opportunity to talk to him this past weekend, yes?
Yeah, great conversation on Live Bet Sunday with Ben Wilson.
With the great Ben Wilson. Have I extolled the virtues of Ben Wilson to you before? Oh, that guy's going to be.
Once or twice. He's filling in for you a few times next week.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, the Eagle slander's coming.
That's right.
I'm referring to J.P. Acosta, NFL writer for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Acosta32_JP. Let's get that right again. Acosta32_JP. JP joins us now. JP, what's the 32 for?
Okay, so 32 is actually pretty fun. I made this account when I was in high school playing football, and 32 is my jersey number. All the data got wiped. I got hacked like a couple of years ago, so nobody can find my huddle highlights on social media, but 32 is jersey number in high school.
Oh, gotcha. Sure, yeah. Nobody can find my huddle highlights either, JP. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. All of our great athletic achievements. JP, appreciate you coming on the show. Let me ask you a broad question first, and I've asked this of other guests here in the offseason, but I'll ask it of you, which is, give me the NFL consensus opinion. And when I say consensus opinion, well, anecdotally, what you've heard, just sort of, you know, going around NFL circles, what's the opinion that is commonly held about a team, you know, either to the good or the bad, that you just cannot get behind? That you're just like, yeah, I hear all this about this team, but I don't really believe it.
That's a great question, actually. I think mine is, I am still not fully aboard the Eagles rebounding yet. And the reason is because Kellen Moore's offense is so different from how it suits a quarterback like Jalen Hurts' skill set. I think for as much as Brian Johnson last year, the Eagles play caller, got fired this offseason, as much as his situational play calling was bad, he was still running the same offense Shane Steichen ran that helped Jalen Hurts almost win MVP and get them to the Super Bowl. So I really do wonder what this offense under Kellen Moore is going to look like in Philadelphia with a quarterback that he has not had a lot of experience in working with. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, and Justin Herbert are all – Jalen Hurts is not the same type of quarterback as Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert. I think Dak and Justin Herbert are a little bit better in terms of processing, in terms of the short area and being better against the blitz. But where Jalen Hurts makes up for that is he is one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL, and he's also a major plus in the run game when healthy. But I really just cannot get fully behind the Eagles being back yet, especially because the offense is going to take a little bit, especially after losing Jason Kelce. And the defense, while they did get younger, I am curious how the Vic Fangio thing works out, because the last stop Vic Fangio had, players like Javon Holland were literally posting videos of themselves kicking rocks after Vic Fangio got let go by the Dolphins. So I have a lot of questions in Philly.
I'm actually with you on that, JP, but I also then after the comma, because I share your skepticism, but then I say to myself, they still could win the division even with that opinion, right? By acclamation, if the Cowboys can't get it together in the year that Jerry won't pay anybody, do you view it that way, or do you think the Cowboys are the clear favorite?
I still think the Cowboys are the clear favorite. I think the Eagles are one of those teams that will probably end up getting one of the first playoff spots. But I really do think, even though the Cowboys have had a really weird offseason, I think through the draft, they really shored up a lot of their offensive line issues. I think however you want to look at what they are doing in this offseason in terms of for the future, the Cowboys have not really planned for beyond 2024. What they are planning for is they're going to put all their eggs into the 2024 basket. And if it works, cool. If it doesn't, then we're probably going to see a new Cowboys team in 2025. But I'm making this bet on the Cowboys based on Dak Prescott still being one of the NFL's best quarterbacks and Mike Zimmer continuing to be a really good defensive play caller. I think the hiring of Mike Zimmer is going to keep that defense at a high level, but it's also going to raise the play of the linebackers, because Dallas's linebackers were not great last year, both due to injury and depth and the fact they had to play a 205-pound safety as a linebacker, which it's all fun and games until a 330-pound guard is hitting you in the mouth every single play.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of coaches, since you brought up Zimmer, let's talk about the new NFL head coaches that have been hired around the league. And I know there's no way that we can say this with any certainty here in July before a season starts. But in your circle and going around with these coaches, just on a hunch or what your instincts tell you, what is the best fit? What is the coach that you feel could make the greatest impact here early on?
Early on, I think the best coach that'll make the quickest impact, I think it's Raheem Morris in Atlanta. I think the fact that he has been there before, I think the staff that he has hired, bringing Zach Robinson over with him from Los Angeles, who I think is going to be the next big thing when it comes to being an offensive coordinator, going straight to the head coaching pipeline. Zach Robinson is next up. He is a fantastic sequencer, play caller, and scheme designer. Bringing Jimmy Lake over is a really interesting fit. I think Jimmy Lake had a lot of problems as head coach at Washington, but he is really good at developing defensive backs, which is what Atlanta needs. I think their personnel has been really good addition-wise. And then, you know, this is the season. This is the team. You know, this is the year Atlanta has to go make something with this talent that they have.
Pardon me for the screaming in the background, JP. We have a situation here at the casino, so apologies for that taking place here behind us. Last question, I'll put you on the spot here, because Kelly was telling me that you actually had a season win total opinion over the weekend. Did you want to share that with us?
Ooh, season win total over the weekend. I think it had to do with the Jets. And the Jets are one of the weirdest teams to me in the league. I think they could go all the way to the Super Bowl, maybe, but we're playing a lot of hypotheticals with the Jets. So I'm leaning more towards their under than what their win total is now. I have so many questions about the longevity of their offensive line, of their receiver, Mike Williams, and of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, last time he played a full season, was not the Aaron Rodgers that we thought of, and now he's coming back off a torn Achilles at over the age of 40. So there's a lot of questions there. This seems like a team, like I said this earlier, this defense could be the best in the league. But the offense still has a lot of questions, not even including Nathaniel Hackett, who may not be a great offensive coordinator, who might just only be there because he's Aaron Rodgers' friend. So I'm taking the under on them.
All right, JP, I leave you with this, and I know this is a completely unfair question, but it's the one that we in you know, the betting world sort of don't ask each other ever, but I want to ask you this. Who ultimately, do your instincts tell you are in the Super Bowl?
Ooh, okay. So I think the Chiefs go back. I think the Chiefs go back from the AFC. I made the mistake of picking against the Chiefs last year, and then they made me look dumb. So I'm not going to do that again. I think they still have one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league. And even though they lose Legarius Sneed, they're able to retool and replace in that cornerback room. And then from the NFC, I'm actually going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
The reason I'm going with the Packers is making a bet on their offense being the best offense in the league.
Okay.
I think
JP,
the way they finished last season.
I got to run. I apologize for that. So, we're on the record. Green Bay and Kansas City. Thank you, JP. Great meeting you. We'll come back. UFC next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D. Skill Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, cheating death, segment by segment. Everything okay over there? Everything okay?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. That was a little worrisome.
I was ready to defend your life.
Poor JP. First segment ever, and he's got screamed.
I know.
This was so bad. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some UFC. UFC Fight Night this weekend, tomorrow night. Thug Rose in action. We bring in our buddy Jordan Sherwood to discuss and to handicap. And, of course, Jordan, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast at ESPN Chicago, at Wood on ESPN 1000. What's happening, Jordan?
Everything is good. Yeah, it's exciting to talk a little UFC because it's in front of a live crowd. You know, we're moving away from these Apex fight cards, which don't have as much notoriety as when you're in front of a live crowd. They love the fights in Denver. So it should be pretty interesting to see these fights that take place tomorrow night.
Can I ask a silly question? We talk about elevation whenever we talk about sporting events in Denver. Does this apply at all to this?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you have to handicap that, especially like in a fight with the opener with Hassan. You know, he is a guy that has struggled with his cardio before, taking on a wrestler in Cody Brundage to open up the card. So you factor that in. And then in the main event, which we'll get to, like, look, Tracy Cortez is taking this fight on short notice. Yes, she was preparing for a fight that was going to take place a week later. But now she has to, you know, change her body, change her mind to be prepared for fighting at elevation. And it is a real thing, in particular against a fighter like Rose Namajunas that is known for her cardio and lives and trains, you know, at altitude in Denver. So she should be the favorite, as you see there on the screen, and, you know, almost over a $2 betting favorite. And it's definitely a factor if you think maybe Rose Namajunas can take over, because she had been preparing for a 5-round fight at elevation prior to the opponent change.
Do we still call her Thug Rose, Jordan? That's all I want to know. Do we still call her that?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's her nickname. And here's the thing, and here's how I'm handicapping the fight. Like, I think, like, if you're going to have a fight name like Thug, like, you're a finisher. Like, you're going out and finishing people and, like, you know, dominating. And look, she's a former champion, different weight class, but former champion, one of the best female fighters we've ever seen. But, like, she's outpointing fighters now. Like, she's kind of fallen into that role of, like, you know, being that type of fighter. And I expect the same. Tracy Cortez is a tough out, even though she's taking this fight on short notice. She's only been finished one time in her mixed martial arts career. That was her first fight as a pro, so prior to her stint in the UFC. And yes, Rose Namajunas does have some finishes in her career, the knockout of Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the knockout of Wei Ling, but I don't see it happening. I think this is a 5-round fight. Rose is going to keep it safe, maybe work in some grappling. Some people have argued late finish, so that submission prop for Rose at +800 is juicy, but I think the safer play is Rose to win, and Rose to win via decision, so I expect her to dominate for 5 rounds.
Yeah, because Cortez was expecting a fight with a wrestler, right? Initially, with a grappler here?
Right, exactly. And a week later and not at altitude. So,
yeah.
You know, and certainly Rose has struggled with people that maybe wanted to take her to the ground or bigger fighters. And I, like I said, look, she's fighting up in weight. This is her third fight now, you know, up at flyweight. She was the strawweight champion of the world. She was the bigger fighter typically at that weight class. She doesn't have that same size advantage, same power advantage. Tracy Cortez, not one of those bigger, you know, flyweights anyways, but that's certainly a factor, too, when you talk about the grappling.
Okay, so you're on Rose at -235 and Rose via decision at even money in the main event here. You mentioned Brundage and Al-Hassan earlier, so did that trigger a bet for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether they were fighting it at altitude or they were fighting down in Florida, like, whatever, I don't care. Both of these guys are kill or be killed type of fighters. Brundage is a wrestler, as I alluded to, good overhand right, has had some controversy, you know, in the octagon before where he was losing a fight, had an illegal elbow hit him, and he took the DQ win. But Al-Hassan, killer on the feet. You get that guy to the ground, he's going to struggle, and he's going to struggle with his cardio. So I think, you know, something's going to happen. It's going to happen early. We just saw in his previous fight, Al-Hassan struggle with cardio. I expect the same. So either Brundage is getting an early takedown and getting a TKO or submission finish within a round and a half, or Al-Hassan is going to land one of his bombs because he's a very powerful striker. He's got a lot of knockouts on his resume. So I don't expect this fight to last very long. Brundage Al-Hassan under 1.5. Not necessarily on a side either way, but definitely just on the round total, under 1.5, $1.50. I think it's a smart play.
Yeah, if you're watching at home, that's under 1.5 rounds, not a fifth of a round or anything. My bad.
Our graphic is poor. Yes, that's right. It would not
be
under a fifth.
It could have been my fault on what I was texting Kelly anyway. So it could have been my fault. Kelly was just, you know, pasting.
Oh, shut up. It's my job to check that stuff.
These guys go way back. Palm Beach, baby. By the way, the greatest thing ever is hearing these guys talk West Palm Beach radio gossip. It's fantastic. As it's been explained to me, maybe the most interesting matchup on the main card is this Dober Silva matchup. And correct me if I'm wrong, because Silva ends everything in the first round, right? Like he destroys people in the first round. But I guess the interesting part is if it gets past that, then what happens? So it's Dober and Silva here, almost a coin flip, right?
Yeah, a couple of interesting things. This is also a short notice fight for Silva. He fought 2 weeks ago at UFC 303, looked really impressive in a knockout of Charles Jourdain. So he comes in, takes this fight on short notice. Originally, when it opened, when the short notice fight was booked, Dober was a big-time favorite, nearly 2-1. Now, as you just alluded to, Gil, it's a pick'em. I think that's recency bias because Drew Dober's been doing this for quite a while in the lightweight division. He's a powerful, probably one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful striker at 155. That dude packs a punch. He's kind of a kill or be killed type of fighter as well, a round and a half fighter. So why is it now pick'em? Why is all this money float in on Silva just because of that recency bias? He looked impressive. 2 weeks ago, Dober is a killer. I think that this fight's going to end before it gets to the judges' scorecards. And I think that Dober, he's fighting in front of his home fans. You know, he trains and lives in Denver. He's used to the altitude, but so is Silva. Silva's from Sao Paulo. That's got similar altitude. So doesn't have to adjust too much in regards to that. But I think lately what I've heard is the money on Silva because Dober's going to come in looking to be impressive. And he's going to be susceptible to a counter, and Silva's going to end the night. But either way, I think this fight ends in a knockout, either Dober or Silva getting their hand raised with a TKO KO finish.
Wow, I'll watch that. I like to see something quick and violent. Speaking of line moves, when they got rescheduled to Rose, to Namajunas and Cortez, didn't it come out, Jordan? Didn't it open as a coin flip?
I think they were certainly shorter than they were prior. Obviously, Tracy Cortez is undefeated in the UFC. She's on the rise and potentially considered a future title challenger. But the short notice nature of it is scary. I think a lot of people also question, too, like Rose Namajunas's mental state. She's always one of those fighters that, like, how is she thinking? Is she in the right mind space? She wasn't in her debut in this division. That was a loss to Manon Farreau. But since that point, you know, Namajunas bounced back with an impressive win. So I'm not surprised that it opened up the way it is, but the money should be on Rose Namajunas. She's just the better overall fighter. Tracy Cortez is not proven yet. Maybe this is her coming out party. Every fighter has one at some point that she deserves to be in the title consideration at flyweight. But I just don't think. I think it's too much too soon, and especially, again, the short-notice nature of it.
Yeah, Rose all the way up to minus 218 once again. Rose, who grew up, Kelly, on the mean streets of Milwaukee and now trains in the elevation of Denver.
Yes, obviously. And now she is a thug who intimidates the judges, not the opponent. That's what I learned today.
Interesting. You have one more on the main card, Jordan, before you run.
Yeah, I think this is a showcase fight for Gabriel Bonfim against Angelusa. Bonfim was humbled his last time out, had his first loss. He was unbeaten, but then Nicholas Dalby, you know, took advantage of an overzealous Bonfim. But here's what Bonfim does. He submits people. He gets people to the ground and wraps an arm, wraps a neck, and gets a rear naked choke or something like that. I think Lusa is primed for that, a guy that hasn't shown great takedown defense and submission defensive capabilities. And at plus money, a guy that a specialty that he does best, you can get at plus money at plus 115. Gabriel Bonfim beats submission to bounce back and get his 16th mixed martial arts victory. I like that tomorrow night.
All right, so we got five plays. Rose on the money line, Rose via decision. Brundage Al-Hassan under 1.5 rounds. Bonfim versus submission, and then Dober Silva. Either way, whoever wins it, under 1.5 rounds. I'll do the horrible thing to close out here, Jordan. If you had to pick one, like which one of those do you think you like the best of the bunch? Which would it be?
Yeah, I do. Of the plays, yeah. I think it's the Bonfim via submission. I think, look, they see a future star, this guy at welterweight. He does what he does best. And again, as I mentioned to you, plus money. There's not a lot of confidence in Rose because of those mental issues at some point. It's a short notice fight. Bonfim does what he does best, submitting people. And at plus money, if you can get it, that's what you should grab.
What did you think I was going to ask you there?
I thought you were going to ask me for a West Palm Beach question, history question. Where was Gil going with this? Or a White Sox question, which I have to be prepared for at all
times. Jordan going to the White Sox game tonight. Remember, Benham, double result. Win first five, lose game. There you go, Jordan. That's from
Enjoy.
Me to you. Enjoy. Jordan Sherwood braving a White Sox game tonight. Good baseball. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.